This is not a debate. This is a lecture.
Drumming on the table to that song, just like going all out, like I'm by myself, because I kind of am. And my boss walks by looking at me, give me that like WTF look, and I'm just like, it's the song. Like I can't talk, you know, because you'll hear it on the mic, and I'm just like, I'm pointing at the mic, and he just shakes his head and walks away. He has, I mean, you know, that's just, you know, radio people, you know, that's how it is. How is everybody doing today? Another beautiful football off-season day to talk about. Sunny here with a little bit of overcast. I feel like a weatherman right now. We've got Dustin and Wade with us. Now, Wade is a little bit like Carmen Sandiego. You never know really where the heck he's going to be, but I believe he's calling us from somewhere on the East Coast today. I believe, anyway. He may or may not be. Wade, where are you today, bud?
I am broadcasting from Manchester, New Hampshire today at my old stomping grounds back up north for a wedding. So that'll be great. Can't wait to ruin that lovely event for somebody else.
Are you crashing the wedding or were you invited?
Boy, it's somewhat of a gray area. The wedding was announced and planned, and I invited myself enough times that I got it. So you can place that wherever you'd like.
So you invited yourself. Nice. Nice. Dustin,
my wife, too.
Okay. Your wife, too. Okay. All right. That's awesome. I'm learning something new every day. I didn't even know that was nice. Dustin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Feedback's a little brutal, but I'm trying to push
through.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what the heck that is, because, of course, when we go live, it starts. But it may or may not be me. I don't know. But I'll try to not move. I tend to talk with my hands a lot, but who knows. Today's topics, however, though, we're going to cover a little bit of what we were supposed to go into last week. But again, as I announced on Monday, due to prior obligations and life's complications, none of the three of us could make it last Wednesday for our Wednesdays with Wade. So we're just going to recycle those topics since really nothing has happened. There hasn't been a contract signing. That's a hint. There hasn't really been much progress on our first debate. And, well, Vegas is Vegas. It never goes anywhere. So our first topic, though, has been generating a lot of heat. It's been generating a little bit of I think it's rumor mill, but it's been generating a lot of internet hype, per se, mostly in New York, New Jersey, Long Island, places like that. And that is that a healthy Eli Manning, who got a lot of help from the NFL.com article that was posted that said he had his best year that he's had in a long time because they put more on him, that whole thing we covered a couple weeks ago. He's gotten a lot of help from that article in saying that a healthy Eli Manning could very possibly be better than Peyton Manning right now. Now, okay, I understand right now. I understand how you can sort of come up with a debate a little bit right now. But if you want to put careers on the line, if you want to slide resume and resume next to each other on the big desk, I don't personally see how it stacks up. I mean, Eli Eli's good. Don't get me wrong. He's a good quarterback, and I've, being a Cowboy fan, have suffered through playing Eli twice a year for the last however long he's been in the league. But Peyton Manning is probably one of the best quarterbacks I've ever gotten the privilege to watch on television. The way that he dissects defenses and just is able to read plays before they even happen. And this is the one show where I can talk less because there's two of you, not two of you instead of just me and Dustin. So I think I'm going to throw this one to whoever wants to grab it first, and then I'll give my input at the end. But guys, what do you feel about the whole hype coming around right now that perhaps Eli could just be better than Peyton? Is that possible?
It's hilarious.
Go ahead, Wade.
Huh, they're both talking at the same time. That's cute. Well, Wade, why do you think it's hilarious? Tell us.
So without getting into a bunch of numbers, because I think that's not really fair, because, you know, Peyton's got, I think, 7 more years in the league than Eli. So without dumping all of those numbers on you, well, I'm just going to use quarterback rating. Peyton's career quarterback rating is 97.5. Eli's is 82.4. So right off the bat, Eli's falling short consistently. And then if you want to go best worst as far as healthy Eli to a unhealthy Peyton, an unhealthy Peyton is going to put up, or his worst year, is 71.2, and Eli's best is 93.1. So it's only 20 points, and that's Eli's best year. His worst year is also 55.4. So there's no way that's even possible. I'm a Patriots fan. I've fallen victim to his skill. I mean, that he had no part in catching that ball. I think it's hilarious. I just don't understand how you can compare them. I think it's insulting to Peyton Manning, and I'm not a Peyton Manning fan, but I can appreciate what he does. And I don't even think that's right.
Well, you are from the land of Tom Brady, where people seem to think that he is a god, and that a lot of people are putting Tom Brady up ahead of Peyton Manning anyway, which I'm not so sure. I mean, I guess I know that's another debate for another time. Obviously, I know now Wade believes
that. At least
that
debate makes sense.
Well, yeah, I can understand why people would come out with that. That's understandable. But I don't understand where they're getting the whole Eli thing from. I'm going to play with this microphone real quick and see if I can get this feedback out of my ears. Dustin, what are you feeling on this topic? I know you had very explosive thoughts about it.
All right, so I posted something, I don't know, last week because we had to cancel the Wednesday show. And I was, you know, I kind of went on like a 20-minute rant about Peyton versus Eli. I was simply stating factual evidence, not, you know, I've always been a Peyton Manning super fan or I've always been an Eli super fan. No, I was always just sticking with the numbers, and then we can leave the eye test, because the eye test will tell you that Eli might be the better quarterback because of the Super Bowls and the overall outcomes, the success that Eli has had versus Peyton Manning. But my biggest problem is, statistically, I mean, Eli can't even get on Peyton Manning's level when you think about it. Okay, Peyton Manning's been in the league for 6 extra years, so his numbers, you know, rightfully so, will be slightly more than Eli's. But I say slightly because when you look at career passing yards, you got Peyton Manning, who's like, you know, a handful away from 70,000 passing yards, and then you got Eli, who's at, he's a handful away from 40. So that's 30,000 yards. Do you really think that Eli would have made that up if they came into the league at the same time? No, I don't think that would have happened. So that's passing yards total. Then you go to touchdowns. This is laughable, dude. Peyton Manning, 530 career touchdowns. How many does Eli Manning have? 259. Come on, 6 years, you're going to tell me he would have made up the difference? No. So Eli,
well, why not,
statistically,
well, I'll let you finish.
How can you go from 259 to 530 in 6 years? Do that math.
I feel like Kanye West right now. I'm gonna let you finish, but tell us sort of why that is. If they came in the league at the same time, I mean, Eli's not that far behind. I mean, he's far behind, but he's not astronomically far behind. I mean, you look at other guys.
Dude, 260 passing touchdowns to someone who has 530, that is pretty damn far behind. That's pretty damn far behind, if you ask me.
Who's to say that if Eli had Odell Beckham, he had Victor Cruz, he had, you know, a better Hakeem
Nicks.
Oh,
give me a break. Who's to say that if he threw those receivers with Peyton Manning, these numbers wouldn't even be bigger?
Okay,
if Peyton Manning
who's
had a Victor Cruz and didn't have a washed-up Marvin Harrison at the end of his career for his wide receiver, if Peyton Manning got Wes Welker when Tom Brady had Wes Welker before the 12 freaking concussions, who's to say maybe they would have won the Super Bowl instead of getting the butts, you know, the butts kicked? Like, who's to say a lot of things? We can't do situational debate. All I'm presenting you with are statistical facts that Peyton Manning is so far and above Eli as far as career passing yards, career passing touchdowns. And then the one that really jumps out at me is the interceptions. Okay, so Eli Manning's been in the league 6 years less. He has 185 interceptions. Peyton Manning has, 234. So an extra 6 years in the league, and he only has 50 more interceptions than his brother. That's ridiculous to me because you got to think
decision making.
Right. So realistically, we all know, I've beaten this to death. Eli Manning, 2013, he had 18 touchdowns, 27 interceptions. That line should be reversed by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. 9 times out of 10, you want more touchdowns than interceptions, and anybody will tell you that. And that right there, 18 and 27, is a recipe for the pine. You're going to be sitting on the bench if you put those kind of numbers up. I don't care how transitioned the team is. I don't give a crap. I don't care if Coughlin forgot to coach that year. I don't care, dude. If you put up those numbers, you're usually not starting the following year. But because of what he did, and he has Super Bowl wins, I don't know, we're giving him I guess he gets the benefit of the doubt. So now let's move away from statistics, right? Let's think about these two Super Bowls. They're against the same team. All right, I'm talking about Eli Manning. He won two Super Bowls against the New England Patriots. The first one we can definitely recognize as the helmet catch, right? Everybody knows David Tyree, you know, that BS.
Syracuse grad, by the way. Go Cuse.
Yeah, you can see Seau and I think Brewski pulling Eli Manning by the end of his jersey, about to throw him on the ground, and Eli just somehow keeps his legs pumping, gets out of it, closes his eyes, hucks the ball up down the middle of the field, and then lets the football gods do the rest of the work. Okay, so
should have been
that's
picked,
the first
honestly, it should have been.
I mean, you got three guys. Obviously, it should have been picked.
Yeah,
three on
been
one,
picked.
Really, against
a
guy,
terrible
against
decision.
A guy who against a guy who everyone said during practice the day before couldn't catch a beach ball. He was so bad in practice, Tyree was, that they didn't even think he was going to make it into the game at all. So anyways, now let's go to the second one, the epic rematch. We grew up in New England. That was very, very largely advertised, like the all-time rematch, like the Patriots are going to come in and they're going to right the wrong, they're going to beat the crap out of the Giants because they ruined their chance at going 19-0 and making history, yada, yada, yada. What happened? Another Eli, just ridiculous throw. I'll credit him more to this throw because it landed like right in the one spot it had to land in order for it to not be an interception. And I think it was Mario Manningham who freaking came up with the catch. It like landed in his basket. He was able
it
to
was
keep
Manningham,
2 feet in while he was able to keep 2 feet in while it looked like he was going to fall over. Like he was defying gravity, the receiver was. He had two defensive backs trying to make a play on the ball and push him out of bounds. Guy caught it, kept the drive alive. It was on like a third down and long. It would have pretty much iced the game and given the Patriots the win. And no, what happens? Another Eli Manning, just, you know, miracle drive, and bam. And now we talked about it on our Cowboys show on Monday. He's the Patriot killer. You want to give anybody a blank and then killer label? Eli Manning is the Patriot killer in two of
with
the
Tom
biggest
Ali.
Games. Yeah, two of
took
the biggest
the
games and in the biggest moments, this guy has come through, and he has come through big. So if you're going to give anybody any kind of, you know, cowboy killer, da-da-da-da killer, Eli Manning definitely deserves Patriot killer. So we just talked about Eli. Now let's think about Peyton, his first Super Bowl appearance. Who was it against? Good Rex, bad Rex Grossman, and the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Okay, so that Bears defense, many can say, yeah, it was a prolific defense. Brian Urlacher was playing some of his best football at the time, had some quality guys back there. But, I mean, offensively, Rex Grossman, everybody was joking. Good Rex, bad Rex. Who are you going to get? They got bad Rex. But this is my point. So this could go against Peyton Manning because he got the win. It wasn't like a beatdown, but he got the Super Bowl. But it wasn't like what I said. It wasn't a comfortable, like, steamrolling like people thought it was going to be. So Peyton Manning gets his Super Bowl. Finally, that monkey off his chest, you know, off his shoulders that everyone, oh, he's just a regular season quarterback. He can't play clutch, da-da-da-da. Finally
they
gets
can't.
It. Then
I'll
what
get
happens?
That in a minute.
Then what happens? He makes it back to the Super Bowl against a destined team, Hurricane Katrina, you know, wounded, New Orleans Saints, who dat nation, coming out of the woodwork. And it just seemed like Peyton couldn't do anything. He just couldn't do anything to stop the momentum that was that Saints train and that just the steamrolling. And
how did
sure,
that
and, in, and then
the
what
way?
Happened? I think Peyton
it was
Manning
a pick
threw
six a serial rapist. I'm pretty sure it was.
Right. And it was one of the worst pick sixes ever. It was a Brett Favre pick six. It was across the field, like across the body. It was a throw that a good quarterback should never make, and that's why people laid into Manning. Then what happened to his final appearance, I think we can all say we remember it, that beatdown in New York, the first outdoor cold weather Super Bowl. And Seattle just, I mean, from the first snap, and I can say this honestly and not even hesitate, when that snap went over Manning's head for a safety, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Because I know how mentally fragile Peyton Manning is, and I knew that from that point on, it was going to be tough. And, man, was it tough. It was pretty much over from that point on. And a lot of people will lay into Peyton Manning and say, well, he's a great regular season quarterback, but he does not come up clutch in the postseason. I think
well,
the New England Patriots fans would – Well, the Patriots fans might disagree with you because, man, has he been a thorn in the Pats' side when he was with the Colts towards the end, when he finally started to get things going.
What do you mean he was a thorn in the Pats' side? He lost like four times to the Pats in the AFC Championship game. He finally beat them
but dude,
the
after,
one year.
Yeah, but when he finally, no, it wasn't just 1 year because once he finally beat them, he started doing it more and more and more. And then eventually, if it wasn't the Colts, it was the Pats. And if it wasn't the Pats, it was the Colts that were getting to the AFC Championship game. More times than not, they had to go through each other instead of facing each other for a chance to go to a Super Bowl. So my point is Peyton Manning, probably the greatest regular season quarterback, pad stats guy we've ever seen. Because obviously he owns the touchdown record with 55 for, you know, touchdowns in a season. And, I mean, man, you can just look at his stats and it's just you can't believe it. And as far as his career numbers go, man, I mean, think about it. He sat out all of 2011, so all these numbers could be even more, even higher than they really are. So I just don't understand. Eli, I give him all the toughness, you know, awards in the world because the guy, he just gets knocked down and he gets back up. It looks like he gets broken in half. He just shakes it off. I think he's tougher than Peyton. I mean, nobody knows what would have happened if Eli got the neck issue that Peyton had. Would he have, you know, had to sit out and yada, yada, yada? I mean, we can only guess.
Yes, probably.
We can only
I think
guess.
Anybody would have.
Right, but I just – there's no way, maybe what you were saying earlier, maybe now that Manning is about to be 40 and he's, you know, shriveling up and he's going to be going onto the field with a cane and Eli should be – you know, in his prime right now, maybe this is that window where you would say, as of right this second, Eli Manning is better than his brother Peyton. But if you take the whole body of work and you factor it in, even factor in Eli's two Super Bowls to Peyton's one, I would still say Peyton Manning is levels above his brother Eli, and it's not even close.
Wade, do you have something quickly on this, because I have an objective point of view. I agree with Dustin, but I have an objective radio voice point of view that I got to get out there. Do you have anything on this before I use my long-winded opinion?
Sure. If you're building a football team, who do you take for quarterback if you have to choose between Peyton and Eli? You don't get to pick from anybody else. Those are the only two.
I'll tell you. This league, and by the way, if anybody's listening, which I know they are, I'm looking at the caller list right now, chat box is blowing up about this. Again, nothing related to us, just arguing with each other, which I think is humorous. 713-955-0359. give us a shout. Let us know. Maybe our buddy from Long Island will give us a call. We know he's a Giants fan, Bob from Long Island. But here's the thing, okay? You got to look at it this way. What is the point of an NFL franchise? Why do you play the game? Okay, in the wise words of Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. You play to win championships. You get into the league. I think every football player from Pop Warner to college right now has visions of grandeur about holding up that Lombardi trophy. You play to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Now, I know what like 10% of players ever have, you know, ever done it because it's such a hard thing to do and, you know, whatever. But it's one of those things where what have you done for me lately comes into play, okay? I watch Peyton Manning. I see what he can do. I know that he can dissect defenses. He throws the football all around the field. He is absolutely incredible during the regular season. Okay, playoffs, however, okay, Super Bowls, like Dustin said, he didn't necessarily have the best performance against the Bears. He really didn't look good at all against the Saints. Now, I know destiny, whatever you want to call it, really didn't look good at all against the Saints. Obviously was just blasted against the Seahawks, and you know, he's been going downhill, but the playoffs, his big Achilles heel was Peyton can't get it done in the playoffs. Every single year he has an amazing Colts team, and they lose to the Patriots, or they lose to whoever when they should have won the game. And to me, if I'm building an NFL franchise, I want a guy who, when he makes the playoffs, has produced. And you look at a guy who, okay, he had a meh regular season, Eli Manning, twice, 9-7 when they made the playoffs, limped in both times as a sixth seed. He gets to the playoffs and just turns it on, man. He is like dropping a match on a lit grill, okay, in the playoffs.
Eli Manning himself, turned it on. His defense didn't show up and play all-time great.
I'm not saying all I'm saying is it's a team sport. Baseball is an individual sport. Football is a team sport.
Okay,
yes,
someone has to catch it, right?
Hold on. He got a little help from his defense. Sure he did. But Peyton had does anybody forget? Peyton had Dwight Freeney and Mathis. I mean, he had corners. Peyton had a complete team, too. The fact is, here's the difference in the playoffs, is that Eli didn't make the mistakes that Peyton made. I understand that it is a team game.
Is the mistake
Eli
that Peyton made
to make
signing with the Colts?
Peyton wouldn't.
Hold on. You're
is
both
the
talking at the same
Peyton,
time.
Is the mistake that Peyton made signing with the Colts and having to put himself in a position where he has to play the Patriots, or, you know, in not being biased as a Pats fan, but he was playing the Patriots to, like Dustin said, to get into the AFC championship game. So is his bad decision putting himself in a division where his gateway to a championship
he got
is
drafted
to play the Patriots and his
– Yeah, he got drafted to the Colts. He didn't have a choice.
Yeah,
he got
drafted to the Colts.
You're missing my point. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek. I'm saying Peyton Manning's mistake was choosing to go to a team where he puts himself in a position where he has to play the always contending in the last decade top-caliber team, especially in those 4 or 5 years, where his road to a Super Bowl is through the Patriots or through a team like that. You don't get a ring for making it to the AFC Championship. You get a ring for
making it to the Super Bowl. The Colts get a banner that say AFC title game runner up now. So
that's just because they're
a
parent, and I get that. And it's tacky, but you know, it looks good there. I wouldn't put it in my house, kind of thing. But anyway, I don't think it's right for to say that Peyton shows up in the regular season and not in the postseason. When he shows up in the regular season, he does very well. I can't believe I'm arguing for Peyton Manning because, like Dustin said, he was playing in the playoffs was awful. It was not something any Pats fan looked
forward
to.
He's not
going to
win you a championship. He's not going to win you a championship. Eli has, and as much as I hate Eli being a Cowboy fan, and as much as he's torched my team so many times, Eli, I hate this argument, he has two rings. But when you look at it this way, in the league, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, he's been the more productive quarterback. And when I say productive, I mean
he's 7 years behind his older brother.
Winning playoff games, winning championships, and that's all that matters in this league. Winning playoff games and winning championships. Eli's done it twice. Peyton's done it once and really didn't even look that good in the one that he won. But we are up against it a little bit here. Dustin is going to post his rants and his anti-stuff a little bit more on the site. He is going to get into debates. If anybody wants to email the show with questions about it, you know the email, info@thestarsalignshow.com. It's quarterback day. We're talking quarterbacks because what else is there to talk about in the offseason? Everyone wants to talk about the new Colts quarterback, Andrew Luck, and the crazy kind of contract he's destined to get. But I think his contract is going to be completely, completely, completely based on what happens on the West Coast with Russell Wilson. Now, Russell Wilson, who was a fourth-round draft pick, who really, he's the new style. Tom Brady, Eli, you know, Peyton Manning, they're the old-school kind of, you know, 3-5-step drops, stay in the pocket, look, throw, find a man, whatever. Russell Wilson's the new hybrid. Russell Wilson is the new product of the modern age of football where he can run, he can throw, and he can probably even catch if you asked him to. And he pretty much is the total package. Now at what is he, like 5'11 or something like that? Can barely see over the line of scrimmage, but the guy does what you're supposed to do as a professional football player, and that is win football games. He wants to be the highest paid, not just highest paid quarterback, highest paid player in the league. Contract negotiations have sort of stalled in Seattle because Russell Wilson wants a gigantic contract. To me, I think, sure, pay the man. He's your franchise. He's your quarterback. He's, you know, he's the guy who has led you to the promised land now twice and was literally 13 seconds away from getting you 2 rings, other than a bad play call. But I don't think he's worth the money he wants, but I definitely think he deserves a new contract and should stay in Seattle. I mean, did you guys feel that Russell, what does he want, like $80 million or something crazy? Like, what do you guys think on this?
I mean, I don't think Russell Wilson is deserving to be the highest paid player in the NFL at all. I'm going to have to agree with that.
Absolutely not.
I do agree with players doing whatever they need to do to get their money. I think that's their right. They put on the line, you know, not to be dramatic, but it's a very brutal, can watch it. And so we can talk about it for an hour once a week. And they want to have some guaranteed money for when, if they get hurt, God forbid their career's over. And I get that. You want to have something to fall back on. That's natural. People do that all the time, every day, when you put money into your 401k. We just don't get blasted on the news about it when we walk into our boss's office and ask for a raise.
I do, but that's most people don't.
Yeah,
so,
but you don't
okay.
get blasted in the media. I'll tell you what.
I am
I will
the media,
give you an extra $500 bonus if somewhere else other than us and not somebody that you paid reports on you asking for a raise. I'll add $500 onto that. I'll send it with bells on.
I could use the $500. I mean, hell, you pin $20 to my shirt and send me on my way. I'll be a happy camper. At least the way
you've
things
done
are
less
going
for
right
10.
Now. I've done much less for 10. Dustin, do you? Well, that sounds awful. Dustin, do you feel Russell Wilson should get the contract that he wants? I mean, think about it. The guys. Well, before I throw this to you, the Seahawks, which a lot of people don't know, but the Seahawks have been, in terms of record-wise anyway, now this hasn't all been done with Russell Wilson. In fact, a little bit of it's been done with Russell Wilson, but a lot of it was Hasselbeck, a lot of it was with some other guys. They have been the winningest team in the league over the past 7 years. I mean, they have a couple 11-5, 11-5, 10-6. I mean, I'm looking at these records here. They made the playoffs 1 year at 7-9, but still 10-6, 11-5, 11-5, 12-4. They just haven't gotten that team around them until now to get to where they needed to be. Now, they got Russell Wilson, he's winning games. He's smiley. He speaks well. He's Mr. Polite. And he gets them a Super Bowl ring, which, very much like Eli, a lot of people are saying that it was the defense that won it. But he gets them that Super Bowl ring regardless. He just falls subject to play calling this past February. I feel like it was a better defensive play than it was a bad offensive play by Seattle there. But what, Dustin, do you feel when it comes to Russell Wilson he should get? Like, is there a contract number that that is fair for Russell Wilson compared to other quarterbacks in the league that may be better than him that are not making as much money as he wants?
All right, so the way I look at it is I look at it salary cap wise. Okay, to bring in another league, so to bring in another league, the NBA, their salary cap is projected to go up 30% next year, and then it's going to go up another 40 the following year. Like, we're talking, they're going to go from around $69 million for a total team to $100 million in 2 years. So right now, if anybody's been paying attention to non-football things, you'll see a lot of players that are getting a lot of these $20 million a year deals, and a lot of them certainly are not worth it. But basically what's happening is teams are given the flexibility to now spend a little bit more money, so they're doing so. Is the NFL, you know, ready for something similar? I don't think so. I haven't heard anything. No one's told me that the salary cap for the NFL is going to be going up anytime soon. Each team has the same salary cap. Okay, it will, but the salary cap every year goes up about $1 to $2 million. But it's not, we're not talking $20 million, $30 million, like game changer, extra money where you can go out and just go crazy in free agency. It's not going to happen for the NFL like it is the NBA over the next 2 years. My point is, Russell Wilson seeking to be the highest paid player in NFL history, right? That's what you told me. That's what he said to Jimmy Kimmel, I think, the last time he was on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is what I don't like about that, is that this guy is basically saying, I want to be paid more than I want to win championships, because there is no way on God's green earth that you can be the highest paid player in the NFL and not produce like four players put together, because the guys that warrant that kind of money, they cripple their team with the salary cap, because we're talking probably $20 million a year or something along those lines. If you're going to be getting paid like that, you're going to be taking up a third of your team's salary cap. That means they got to find a way to pay 52 other guys in that other two, you know what I mean? That other part of the, well, what's left of the pie. You can't do that. You can't be one guy who talks about team, and he's the worst interview in the world, because all he says is, I got to thank the guys around me. I got to thank the good Lord above for, you know, blessing me with the ability to play football, blah, 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 blah. He does everything and says everything perfect. He talks about total team effort. Russell Wilson, if you really cared about total team effort, you'd be taking a team-friendly deal right now and making your money like Rob Gronkowski is, with endorsements and off-the-field stuff, and not even touch your salary from, you know, game day checks, and save that for a rainy day or invest it. I never thought I would hear the day or see the day where I am saying that Rob Gronkowski is more financially responsible than Russell Wilson. This guy, Rob Gronkowski, hasn't spent a penny of his base salary from his game day checks. All he does is live off the money from endorsements. And I think it's brilliant. It's like a kid putting 3/4 of his allowance in the savings account, forgetting about it, and then just living off of, you know, the rest of it. What are you doing, Russell Wilson? You're trying to be the highest paid player in football, and you're going to destroy your team in the process. Really quick, statistically, the guy's never had a 4,000-yard season. He's never passed for 30 touchdowns in a season. He's only had double-digit interceptions once, which was last – no,
been
which was 2004.
I mean,
right? He's going into his fourth season this year, so he only has 3 years as a body of work. But my point is, this guy does not put up pay me like the best player in the league numbers.
He is a glorified game manager who can run, who is an athlete.
But he wins games.
Yeah.
He doesn't put up big numbers, but he wins games. Seattle's been the most dominant team in football.
I wish I could go through the microphone and strangle you. Because
he wins
just
games.
Because he has a great team. No, no, he doesn't win games. He just doesn't take chances. He's a game changer. I mean, he's a game manager, Chris. All he does is hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. Hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. And then when the team's so focused on Marshawn Lynch, he throws a play-action boot pass. The guy is not a quarterback. He can't throw for 400 yards in a game. Don't pay him like he's the highest-paid quarterback in the league. If you want to, take the highest-paid quarterback, the highest-paid halfback, cut those numbers in half and give that to him because that's what he is. He's a glorified running back who learned how to throw the ball 30 yards. He's not a quarterback, dude. He's not a true quarterback. He does not deserve to be paid like the highest paid quarterback in the league, let alone the highest paid player in the NFL. Like I said, dude, he hasn't even passed for 4,000 yards in a season. He hasn't even passed for 30 touchdowns in
offense.
A season.
That's not their offense.
Exactly.
They're a running
you know why?
Based offense.
What's their offense, Chris? What's their offense? I'm going to hand. Okay, so why don't we pay Marshawn Lynch like the highest paid player in the league? Because he's your workhorse. He's the guy doing all the work. Russell
because
Wilson
running
is just
backs
there
are an
to literally.
Now.
Russell Wilson is literally there to be a voice of the coach on the field. He barely throws the ball, Chris. If he throws the ball for more than 300 yards a game, people are like, whoa, they're letting Russell Wilson loose. He's a game manager. He's a game manager. He does not deserve the money he's asking for. I'm all for players earning money as long as they can because they put their bodies on the line and blah, blah, blah. I just wrote a column on it. I'm telling you, man, I get it. Get your money while you can. But if you destroy, I'm telling you right now, if the salary cap does not go up and the Seattle Seahawks are forced to pay Russell Wilson guaranteed money, the largest one in history, the Seahawks are going to get worse and worse and worse over the next 5 years, and this is single-handedly the excuse for the demise of the Seattle Seahawks dynasty because they won't be able to pay to keep guys around them.
Well, here's the thing. The chat box just blew up, and actually from up in your neck of the woods, Wade, and well, Dustin too, I guess, it's actually his name is, what is it? Oh, man, I got to find it. Cole. Cole from New Hampshire was asking me. He says here, go back and look at what Russell Wilson just said, dot, dot, dot. So I'm like, okay, I'll go back and look at what Russell Wilson just said. Cole, that was very good, input, and I know what you're talking about. Give me 1 second, however. It says here, Jason Cole of Bleacher Report reported on Wednesday, July 1st, okay, and Dustin, this is probably going to, set you off again, but here we go. We only got 22 minutes left, so don't let it set you off too much, but reported that Wilson is looking to receive more than Aaron Rodgers' 5-year, $110 million deal, okay? But that the Seahawks are unwilling to meet those demands. So he wants more money than Aaron Rodgers is getting, Russell Wilson does, okay? Now, on last week, and this is what he's talking about now.
Russell Wilson
came out,
can't even hold the clipboard for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, hold on. So he wants that, okay? He wants more than what Aaron Rodgers is getting. Now, Russell Wilson came out, okay, and this was sort of highly publicized all over ESPN and things like that, that Russell Wilson, as soon as he found out he was getting blasted on social media, found out he was, sort of being looked at in a negative light, because obviously he's a guy who doesn't like to be looked at in a negative light, he comes out and says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to paraphrase here. He says that no matter how much I'm getting paid, whether it's $25 million or $1.5 million, I'll be ready to go. So that's what
I'll
he said.
100%.
So,
yeah, I read that.
So,
article.
How does that work for your negotiation tactics?
Well,
I mean,
no, exactly. He contradicts himself. He contradicts himself. He basically says, I'm going to hold out unless you give me the highest paid salary in the league. And then he also says, but I'm going to give you 100% and I'm going to do the right thing and blah, 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 blah. He would have been better off making that ridiculous
statement. And I'll take the last offer you give me right before the season starts. That's what that is. I'm going to hold out for as long as possible so I can get your highest amount.
He took out a multi-million-dollar insurance policy on this season, right? Everybody heard about that. He took out an insurance policy that says if he gets hurt and suffers a career-ending injury, he'll make millions and millions and millions of dollars. I get that. He's smart for doing that. That should be the precedent moving forward for a lot of rookies that are very, very elusive, fast, and they rely on their speed, and they're not getting guaranteed money, and they think that they might get screwed over in contract negotiations. Learn from Russell Wilson on that one. Absolutely. Learn from Russell Wilson on that one. Take out an insurance policy. That's brilliant. That right there, be a trailblazer in that regard. But you freaking clown, dude. You're not worth the highest paid salary in the NFL. You're not even worth half of that. You talk about team, team, team. You're about to destroy your team, team, team when you demand this type of salary from your owner, your general manager, whatever it is. He's ridiculous. This is on
well,
the
Russell
level
Wilson
of Darrell Revis demanding $25 million a year
Revis
from the
Island.
Patriots, or he's leaving for the Jets. And that's
and
what
he
happened.
Did.
He went
yeah.
and took the long-term deal, and he went to the Jets because someone is stupid enough to pay somebody this money. Absolutely. If he doesn't get the contract from Seattle, I guarantee you he has no problem. He will bounce, and he will go somewhere else. And someone stupid like the old-school Al Davis, someone will pay him the money he's looking for. But
well, I don't know, though.
Man, he's going to be the only guy that suits up on the field because he's going to be the only one that they can afford. That's it.
Well, I don't know if
he'll,
I don't know if
he'll go with
that.
Russell Wilson.
Well, he just said, if whether it's $25 million or whether it's $1.5 million, I'll be ready to go. The reason I think the biggest enemy here for Russell Wilson isn't the Seahawks front office. I think the biggest enemy here is his image of being that good guy. He's, you know, the perfect class act, speaks well, dresses nice, says the right thing kind of guy who Tom Brady's had his off the field thing, and now But hold on, we'll get into Tom Brady in a second. He's had this.
He was looked
image.
At as a good guy though before Deflategate. Before
no,
Deflategate,
nah.
He was looked at as squeaky clean. No BS. Don't tell me that
yeah,
anybody ever
left,
had any dirt
left,
on Tom Brady.
Until he
you
left
had
his
Deflategate
pregnant wife for a
on
supermodel.
Bill Belichick. No, get out of town. No, no, no. Okay, Mister. I'm not going to hold this personal life. Yeah, yeah. You remember our talk 2 days ago about DeMarco Murray and
saying,
that crap. So don't
I'm
don't
saying,
bring
a
personal
lot of
life
people,
into it.
A lot of people said that he was kind of a, you know, a scumbag and things like that for that. I'm just saying Russell Wilson has a perfect on the field, off the field, press conference, everything sort of a life other than the divorce that he's going through. God knows what stemmed that. But
so then
Russell
why isn't he willing to take pay cuts like Tom Brady? If he's so perfect
exactly.
and Tom Brady is such the devil, how is it that Tom Brady on the Patriots with a much larger bankroll than the Seattle Seahawks, you know, how is it that if Tom Brady is so terrible and such a bad person and Russell Wilson is so fantastic, why does Russell Wilson need a $105 million contract and every time
he wants
Tom Brady's contract is up, so every time Tom Brady's contract is up, he's like, well, I mean, if it's good for the team, then sure, I'll take it. And then when the team is trying to sign a big name, who's the first guy in the office to go, hey, is there anything that I can do to make this work, to bring this extra talent around me? So, no.
Yep.
That's another perfect example of why Russell Wilson is not deserving of that money. If you're shouting for it and you're asking for it, you don't deserve it. If you deserve it, you don't have to say you need
it.
Let your numbers speak for it.
I couldn't have said it any better myself.
Well, you guys brought up Tom Brady. I didn't bring up Tom Brady. The fact is with this is that I was saying Russell Wilson has this perfect off-the-field, on-the-field kind of an image. I think the worst – and that's
not
the worst enemy. Well, hold on. That's the worst enemy for him. And that was
but
my
you
point
just...
behind this. Hold on. My worst – that's his worst enemy because he says whether I'm making 25 or 1.5, I'll be ready to go. So it's a win-win situation for Russell Wilson because right now he's – in the headlines, he's making the news. Seattle fans are like, well, you know, we're going to do whatever we got to do to keep him, blah, 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 because, you know, fans are shallow and all they care about is winning. And what's he going to do? Wade made a good point before. He's going to take a lower deal right before the beginning of the season. He's going to go out there. He's going to play. He's going to win games because that's what the Seahawks do. And everyone's going to forget about this. He's going to still be looked at as the good guy.
It's not, Chris, it's not
right,
a win-win because anybody who's capable of seeing through the smoke and the mirrors and all the BS that he just put out there, I'll play for anything. Anybody who's smart enough to read through that knows he realizes he's about to lose big, so he better make make amends with all the fans because the last thing he needs is Seattle against them.
I guarantee you if you ask
the
Seattle Seahawks fan. Well, I guarantee you if you ask a Seahawks fan, they would say – I mean, I know we agree that he's not. I think most football fans agree that he's not. But if you ask a Seattle Seahawks fan, they're on his side. I was reading the Seattle newspaper.
I mean, they should be on his side. They want him to get that money.
Yeah, but they want him to get that money. They feel that Russell Wilson does deserve that money.
How are they going to feel, Chris, when all of a sudden they can't afford to retain that D line that's been so good that put Peyton Manning on his butt in the Super Bowl?
They've already lost a couple.
I know, and that's because of guess who? Big Mouth Sherman's big contract that he took. So now let's think about this. How are you going to keep Russell Wilson and then one of the highest paid cornerbacks on your books? How are you going to keep them both on your books and field a team around them?
You build a team around them. You draft. I mean, that's how they built this team.
We're going to keep drafting.
Yeah, but how are you going to get anybody to come if you can't offer them any money because your salary cap's tapped out at your unbelievable safety and your
corner?
I guess
corner.
We're going to call him a quarterback.
Whatever.
Sorry, cornerback. Well, and we're going to call Russell Wilson. We're going to call a quarterback, I guess.
This team is comprised of third, fourth, and fifth round draft picks. That's what this team is. This is not a superstar laden team. At least it wasn't when they started out. Now all these guys are stars.
Why pay any of them like it?
Okay, but they're stars now. They've won games. They've done things now. The Legion of Boom. They're the hottest team in football right now. But Pete Carroll firmly believes he can do this again. If he loses however many pieces, he feels that he's good enough and his staff is good enough to scout and draft and build this thing back up again and keep this engine churning. He wants to keep his core pieces.
That's adorable.
Because
Richard Sherman
is a top – I mean, as much as Dustin hates him, he's a top five corner in the league. Okay, at least that's what the general consensus is.
I agree to that. Top five. Yes, I agree.
They've got Russell Wilson, who has won games. He's a game manager. He's been to two Super Bowls now in only 3 years. They've got their core pieces. They're going to take guys like Cam Chancellor and things like that. They're going to take pay cuts. But I think that the Seahawks feel that if they give this money to them, that they can draft well enough to be able to keep the engine churning and still stay relevant if guys want to leave due to salary cap things. Pete Carroll's already come out and said that this team is a family. This team is, you know, it's close-knit. They're tight. They're together. And, you know, guys are willing to take pay cuts and things like that. But
just
obviously,
not the face
obviously
of the
Russell Wilson.
That's it.
Exactly. The faces of the franchise, sure. But this
we're
sort
all
of leads
a family as all of us know who Daddy is.
Well, exactly. But the fact is, how is the Russell – and we do have to move on. Only about 12 minutes left here. We got one more topic. But how is this – any different than another player who has been productive, who has won one Super Bowl, but been to two Super Bowls and one NFC Championship in 3 years? I believe it would be three, wouldn't it? No, he's won two Super Bowls in 3 years. How?
I don't know who you're talking about, Chris. I can't correct
you. Russell Wilson. How is this different than any other player who's been productive, who's won games, who's the face of the franchise, possibly even one of the faces of the league, wanting more money? I understand wanting more than Aaron Rodgers is kind of asinine, and I understand that, but the guy wants his money. How is this different than the Dez situation? Now I know that Dez is, you know, unstoppable and arguably the best receiver in the league.
Are we really going to debate
and he's not
the production
asking to be
of
the
Dez
highest
Bryant?
Paid player?
Wait a minute, though.
Are we really going to debate?
Here's what I'm doing. I'm setting this up either for next week or for a little bit of Monday's show. I'm setting this up, but think about it. Just think about it because we do have to move on. How is Russell Wilson any different than any other player who wants money, who was held out for money? Guys like Briggs, who was held out for money when really his production wasn't great. You know, guys, who am I thinking of? Guys like, I can't even think of something. I'm too flustered by the fact that this is
even. We have 10 minutes to cover the NFL Vegas odds, and we're wasting time about this.
Exactly. But just think about that. How is it any different than any other productive player who wants money?
It's easy because Russell Wilson doesn't deserve the money he's asking for. Dez Bryant does deserve because he is probably the best wide receiver in the game up there with Megatron. Russell Wilson isn't even looked at as a top five quarterback in the league. So everybody can suck it if they disagree with me on that. Let's move on to the Vegas odds.
He's never lost more than five games a season. All right.
Vegas.
Speaking of quarterbacks, okay, we've taken a little bit of a gamble, spending a little bit more time than maybe we needed to on the pretty boy Russell Wilson. Now we're taking a gamble a little bit and looking at Vegas releasing their odds for Super Bowl 50 winners. Okay, who do they think is going to be in this milestone game, the 50th Super Bowl? And some of what came out, I was...
Vegas, baby!
Some of what came out, I was like, meh, that's expected. Also, some of what came out, I was like, I don't know about that. So, I'll get to my picks because I got to go back and look at the odds again. But what do you guys
think
of the
Vegas odds?
All right,
real quick, listen. Ready, real quick, listen. Green Bay Packers lead. They're tied with Seattle, 6-1 odds. All right, so 1-2. It's Green Bay, Seattle. Number 3, Indianapolis Colts, 8-1 odds. Number 4, the defending Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots, 9-1 odds. 5, Denver Broncos, 13-1. And then America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, 14-1 odds. I'm not going to go any lower than that because everybody else is garbage. So realistically, I don't understand how a defending champion can be basically can be picked, outpicked by two NFC teams before you're even looked at. And then the team that you just ripped apart in the title game is given better odds than you. So I think that's a major snub for the Patriots. I think Patriots should at least be the second, should have at least 7-1, not 13-1 after the Colts, Seattle, Green Bay. So realistically, that's the only problem I have with it. I know we're pressed for time, so I'll let you guys go.
They lost a lot of pieces. I mean, the Patriots, obviously, with Wilfork departing, Brady, God knows how many games he's going to be out. Losing Revis, the receiving core is a mess. Who really knows what the Patriots are going to do? And the Patriots are never really considered early in the season to be contenders. They've been a little bit down talent-wise the last couple of years. And what do the Patriots do? They win games. They go to Super Bowls. That's just what Bill Belichick and this team does. But for that, I understand. I understand what Vegas is saying because Vegas is looking at it purely based on talent, purely based on numbers from last year. It's all numbers. It's like playing poker. It's all guessing game and numbers. And I understand it. But do you guys have? And what we'll do is we'll post the picture of the Vegas odds on the Facebook page, on the website, so you guys in the chat room right now, arguing with each other, will be able to look at it. But real quick, who do you guys have in Super Bowl 50 if the season started today, based on last year's production, based on the draft, based on free agency, based on the team as it sits right now? Who do you guys have in Super Bowl 50? I'll let Wade go first.
I mean, if Russell Wilson doesn't take this giant contract and they're able to keep the team together, I can't say that the Seattle Seahawks won't contend. They do have a good all-around team, and they have the best game manager in the game. I'm going to have to agree with Dustin there. I'm new to the whole sports media thing, so I'm still trying to phase myself out as a fan. So I can't not say that the Patriots won't. They don't have a chance. So those are my predictions. I guess we can all, probably laugh at them in a few months. I don't know. That's where I'm at. I don't trust
as
Vegas.
Far as,
I never win.
So, yeah, so as far as his picks, I'll give that a hat tip. I agree. The defending champ should always be looked at the favorite to return. I mean, I know they got rid of a lot of big name pieces and yada yada yada, but they always seem to find a way to be there. So if it's not the Patriots, I've said it many times over, I think the Colts will get there. I think this is their year. They added some major, major veteran pieces, with Andre Johnson, Frank Gore. I think that's going to be scary. I understand. Yeah, I understand, but I get that they have to do it. It's not on paper, because if it was on paper, the Cowboys would win every year. But as far as just getting there and doing it, I think it's down to the Pats and the Colts in the AFC Championship game. And I think, personally, I don't care how fanboy it sounds, I think the Cowboys or the Seahawks are going to get it done this year in the NFC. I think the addition of Jimmy Graham is just too freaking over the top for the Seahawks. They didn't lose anybody. They just added a Pro Bowl tight end for this dip of a quarterback that can't throw longer than 20 yards, that's perfect for him. It's a safety net. It's a pacifier. It's a whoopee. It's a check down option, the ultimate check down option, really. And I just think that is such
a
Yeah, there's a Legion of Boom. I don't give a crap about the Legion of Boom. I don't care about them because the Cowboys beat the crap out of them. So as far as Seahawks, Cowboys, Colts, Patriots, that's me.
So Seahawks, Cowboys, Colts, Patriots, you heard it here live out of the mouth of DB Dustin Bork. Well, I got to be objective on radio, but I also have to be a fanboy. You said that this is the Colts year. Now, I understand it being the Colts year with Andrew Luck finally getting over that hump, now finally having receivers T.Y. Hilton and Andre Johnson, plus having an Akeem Nicks who's more of a role player, which now he doesn't have to do as much, so it fits his style. Frank Gore, he finally gets him a running game. Relatively good defense in Indy, plus a piss-poor division that they're in other than Houston. So that should be an easy division win at least. So I am going to take the Colts here because I think Andrew Luck is too good to be losing in the first and second round every single year. Now he's got his weapons. The Colts almost made it last year. I do believe that this is the Colts year. So I'm going to go Colts AFC, okay, because I do feel right now they are the best AFC team. NFC, I got to say Cowboys, man. I got to say, okay, here's what I'm doing. Cowboys or Packers? Cowboys or Packers? I'm going to say Cowboys and Packers. NFC Championship game. Cowboys edge them, and Dez comes up with the catch that should have been. You heard it here. Dez, it should have been. Hashtag
So you really
Dez
think the Packers over the Seahawks?
Yes.
Really?
I think the Packers over the Seahawks because I think the Packers had him on the ropes last year. Because
it's karma, and Russell Wilson asked for more money than Aaron Rodgers. That's why.
Well, maybe, but the Packers had that game won last year. If it wasn't for a stupid onside play, onside kick that should have been handled, and then that ridiculous lob by Russell Wilson, the Packers are in the Super Bowl last year. They had that game won. So I'm definitely taking the Packers over the Seahawks. They have the formula. I'm taking Dallas to get some revenge against Green Bay. You heard it here. This is Wednesday. This is Wednesdays with Wade. This is Around the League on the Stars Align. Make sure you check us out. But before we go, I just wanted everybody out there to know, in case they didn't know this before, but when you're listening to our shows,
this is not a debate. This is a lecture.
We'll see y'all on Monday, y'all. The Stars Align. Caught the ball.
It was a catch.
Don't you agree? I definitely agree.
I mean, anybody with eyes knows that was a catch.
That was a catch, and for some reason our intro music stopped. So what we're going to do here is we're going to play a little something. Give me 1 second.
That's the outro music. You're such an idiot.
I played the outro music. Well, here it is again. For any Living Color fans we may have out there, here it is.
Country can do for you.